Dear friends, parents, grandparents, Thursday night worshipers, and you graduates. This time I get two more, don't I? I get them here, Cody and Mikey. Welcome both to our Savior and to the graduation service that sends you off into summer. Eric and Emma have been here just a few more years than you, since pre-K-4. Like a fixture around here. I was looking at old pictures, and Eric, I could recognize him up and down the line. And Emma, my goodness, I've been watching you since you were crawling underneath the pews over there. What a blessing to have you in our midst for so long. You know, the French chose Emmanuel Macron to be the president of Paris. And America chose Donald Trump to be the president of Pittsburgh. Did you hear that today? You know what I'm referring to? In Donald Trump's speech, he said, "I'm not the president of Paris, I'm the president of Pittsburgh." But I am here to talk about who God chose. He chose as king his son, Jesus the Christ. And it is in that you have had a unique education in your time with us. I'm just saying, Jesus is much better, not only at leading and ruling, but he has had a whole lot more experience. He's been there from the beginning. So I'm going to quote a couple times from Uncle Ben's quote book. And when I do, I want you to see there's good statements and then there's God's statements. Does that make sense? Because what we're going to talk about is how you're moving on, a milestone. You're moving on with your milestone of faith that you won't forget. Have you ever walked along the paths out here in Ozaukee County? You know that there are milestones. They're actually poles, and they're markers as you go from mile to mile to mile. Here is Uncle Ben's quote, "Faith is a higher faculty than reason." So what we've been trying to teach you. You might be smart, you might be able to figure things out, but there are some things that can only be handled by faith. Now listen to this. This comes out of winter after Wisconsin you've been through, and all of you think it is about time the sun shines. A traveler crossed a frozen stream in trembling fear one day. Later a teamster drove across and whistled all the way. That'd be like an 18-wheeler truck. Great faith and little faith alike were granted safe convoy. One had the pangs of needless fear, the other all the joy. A milestone of faith which you won't forget. Understand three milestones, that of separation, that of life, that of trust. Understand the milestone of separation. We're going to listen to Hebrews 11, 8 to 12 about Abraham. And in it is the passage that we read at the beginning, verse 10. We'll start with verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. When I first read this, I thought of Ben and Katie. The Lord called. And where is Albuquerque? Most of the people in the room are like, "Are you really? You're going that far away?" Abraham was going to leave and go a long ways away to a different part of the world, and there was one simple reason. Not the reason for you. You're going because the Lord called you in service. Abraham's reason was this. He was being separated from the gods of his family and from the paganness that surrounded him. And actually, that's what happened when you started going to school at Our Savior. You've been separated from a lot of the world choices. Doesn't mean you're going to always be separated, but you were insulated in a way from some of the things out there in the world, right? Now, that kind of separation can be both good and bad. First of all, it's good because it took great faith for Abraham and Sarah to obey God and go. If I told you go, and I'll call you on the way and tell you when you get there, would you go, Mikey? Nope. I agree. It's like, no, I don't trust Pastor that much. God, you can trust. Because even though he didn't tell Abraham his plans, they were outstanding. And when you think about it, it turned out very well for him. Because he was giving up the security of an earthly inheritance for something better. Being separated away from all that was around him, he was given a new orientation. And that's what the Apostle Paul learned. His came later. As an adult, he would learn that Jesus separated him to become an instrument of the gospel. Now, you know, we've been trying to teach you to follow and obey God rather than men. And I will tell you that you're really just now stepping into the stream, and it's going to get fast and it's going to get furious before you know it. It's called high school, but high school is just a stepping stone to college. And by the time you hit college, you are fully in the middle of a raging stream that carries you down the way in the world's understanding. And I can tell you that as a pastor who's tried again and again to rescue our kids from going down too far. It doesn't mean that you can't get in that stream and go a ways and learn and be around other people who don't have your faith, but what it does mean is it can get very dangerous. And you need to know that. You see, the liars around you will offer you the world. They're going to make it possible for you to believe that you can have anything you want, but you'll never get that apart from God. The Lord offers you from above what is important, His truth. Uncle Ben has something more to say about life. He says, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. It is impossible for faith to overdraw its account in God's bank. Wouldn't you like it if you wouldn't go bankrupt ever? Some of you can get on with that idea, right? The unlimited credit card? Yeah, I wish I could give that to you tonight. No, I don't wish that at all. I'm not sure you could handle it. Faith believes the Word of God for what it cannot see and is rewarded by seeing what it believes. You know, Abraham lived on life on earth as a foreigner. Listen here to verses 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. Can you imagine living a whole life in tents? As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. It's interesting that as Abraham would travel through the land and he reached the great tree at Moreh, he would then set up an altar, it says in Genesis 12, to the Lord who had appeared to him. And the Lord said, to your offspring I will give this land. What a promise. The promise of a land. And that's really what your grandparents and your parents have been trying to give you, is a free country where you can go and try and prosper. But more than that, they've also wanted to give you a freedom of heart by your faith. So when you are crushed by the world, when you've gone too far down and you have a crash, you know, the kayak's all over on top of you and your head's bouncing off of the rocks of the world, you need to know that God is there. He has given you a promise that is much richer. That promise came through Abraham. In chapter 12, he actually says very distinctly that this is a promise through which the whole world will be blessed. And then in Stephen's sermon on Acts chapter 7, God promised Abraham that his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him this way, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. So it was a prediction of the slavery in Egypt. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place. When Abraham's wife Sarah died, He had to buy a piece of property to bury her. He owned nothing. But he did have that child. And in that child was more than a promise of land. There was the promised land. Because Abraham was linked to the coming birth of God's original promise to Adam and Eve, that there would be one who was an offspring who would release us from our sin and give us a new home, a new place. And that's what you're going to learn. There's going to be a lot of hurt and ache in your life. I know it because I've lived. I know it because I see it written in the lines in your grandparents' faces. They not only have lived with experience, but they've lived with loss. When that loss comes, you're going to have something that no one else around you will have unless they know the Lord. You're going to have the promise of a finish line, and at that finish line, a celebration, and that place called everlasting life. And when you took your vows, or you were able to say again at your confirmation, "I believe what I was baptized into," you were saying, "My destiny is heaven. That is my home." The illusion of liberty and happiness can actually enslave you. If you're just going after the career, the dollar, the perfect life, the perfect wife, the perfect family, it isn't going to be there. But the enlightenment that came in your training here will continue in your training, is freeing you from yourself. And finally, practicing the milestone of trust. Uncle Ben, faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Fear not tomorrow, God is already there. The devil hasn't armies enough to capture one saint of God who dares to trust in him. And faith is believing what God says simply because it is God who says it. Abraham counted on the promise of the star maker. Verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, and he as good as dead, became the descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Have you ever had it happen where you're following a GPS and you can't go there and you get turned around? Do you know what the GPS is going to do immediately? It's going to tell you something. What does the voice say? Rerouting, recalculating, right? And that's what happens when you're going in life and you get away from the pursuit of eternal life. When you miss that, it is a chance again for God to reroute, to bring you back. Abraham counted on the promise of the star maker because God had said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to them, "So your offspring shall be." Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, it isn't just about having a home, a family. It's about having a destination where home and family will be forever. It's about living with God. It's about knowing and trusting that he will get you there. You see, Abraham's faith was a remarkable role model. And now I want to talk just for a moment to parents and grandparents. Thanks for being here. You know, when parents and grandparents aren't here, when they don't set the tenor for a child, they will follow those that they admire the most. And some of those will not be here. And so the children will follow Grandma, Grandpa, Mom, Dad, away from Word and Sacrament. And you can't help it, even at 14, to follow in the footsteps of those that you admire. So dads especially, you need to set the destination, rerouting. If you haven't been that faithful, get on it. And kids, when you're growing up, set in your mind that you will have a Christ-centered home. Because you see, we believe, and often we get distracted. We get rerouted by our own pursuits. And when we set the agenda and we forget that God is the one who's orienting us, then we need to ask what the man did when he fell at the foot of Jesus who had healed his son. Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. This event is an important step forward in your growing up. You have role models. You'll need to continue to find other role models of faith, like Abraham, because he looked forward to a place, a city that is built by God, and you are part of that. You're being drawn forward. All the way through, you've been taught, and especially in catechism class, who rules your life? And he is there, opening a door, preparing a place, and still loving you and searching you out. And when your life goes off track, he will be near you. All you need to do is stop and listen, and he will help you find your way back again. God be with you as you look for that signal. It comes from a cross that was put into the ground at Calvary 2,000 years ago. It comes from the blood that was shed there that has become the orientation, the magnetic pole of our faith. It comes from Jerusalem, but it is not Jerusalem that we will look forward to in the sense of an earthly place. It's God's presence. It's God's power. It's God's Son and our relationship with him that changes everything. And it's a milestone of faith that you will never forget. We pray. Amen.